Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is an old friend, Jeff Rollinson, who is now with the National Archery in the Schools program. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Now, I mentioned earlier in one of the little bites we did to set the show up this morning that you were with the Game and Parks, but then moved over to NASP, and it's you remind me of one of the sayings I have in my den where I do my writing. I have these little inspirational sayings or whatever you call it, and one of them says, it's not a job if it's a passion. And I think you fit the bill on that one, bud.
I hope so, because for 27 years it was a passion of mine for sure. I loved working for Game and Parks. It was I wrote an article recently here, and I said in that article that, you know, after a short stint with the University of Nebraska in extension and completing my master's degree, I found my way home to Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, and I felt that every day of my life. It was a wonderful career.
Well, your new job, I mean, you're in the same boat again. It's a passion, and you're into it.
I appreciate that, and I am. I'm blessed. While serving at Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, I was involved in a lot of groundbreaking, not that I was groundbreaking, but I happened to be at the right place at the right time, involved in a lot of groundbreaking programs, committees, efforts. And one of those was the National Archery in the Schools program. And I've served on a number of boards throughout my career, but this one I served on for about 18 years on the national board. And was very, very excited about the opportunity to help spread archery education in schools all across North America. And in doing so, got to meet a lot of people, got to do some really cool things. And when the vice president position came open last fall, I accepted the vice president position with the NASP organization. And reluctantly left Game and Parks Commission after, like I said, 27-year career. Loved the people there. I can tell you right now, you'd be hard-pressed to find more passionate people than those serving at your Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. But I think I found a home that is right on par.
Very good. Now, Corey here, he's the golfer, so right on par, he's perking up.
You know, I can honestly say I've never golfed an 18-hole golf course a day in my life. And I probably don't plan to start today.
Sometime when we're getting together to shoot or fish or whatever, remind me to tell you a story about golf in one of the big PGA courses in Atlanta.
Oh.
Because I don't golf either.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm anxious to hear that one.
I fish the water hazards.
Yeah. If I've got time, it's going to be on the gun range or the archer range or out in the field. So that's my life. But anyway, I'm enjoying where I'm at and enjoying being vice president of the largest youth shooting sports organization in the world. Yeah, and I don't take that lightly. It's been a big honor.
Excellent. So how are things in NASP today?
Oh my gosh, they're just incredible. They're just, you know, it seems like every month is a new high, and we're going to achieve this next month and this month, and it just keeps going. You know, when that program started in 2002 in Kentucky, and it spread all across the country, started spreading in 03, 04. Nebraska started in 04. We were one of the first states to come on board, one of the first handful of states to come on board after Kentucky started the program. And we were talking a few thousand kids. Now, today, we have reached, since that time, 23.5 million kids. And
wow.
Last year alone was 1.3 million student archers came through the program. This year, we think it'll closer to 1.5 million. So it just keeps growing at a rate that, you know, some days you're just impressed that you're able to keep up.
Now, you mentioned schools, you mentioned the young shooters, so we're talking junior high school age, is that correct?
Well, yeah, grades 4 through 12.
4 through 12,
so
all
there's
right.
There's a grade school component, middle school, and high school component. And it's an in-school program, and that is always been one of the most defining aspects of the mass program, as opposed to all other shooting sport type programs, is it's a in-school program where the program is embedded within a curriculum within the school. It might be most often as a physical education program, but not always. And the beauty of that is that all kids who represent your community get a chance to try archery. And that to me is one of the more defining elements of its success.
Now, who is eligible to participate? Is it just the age and the school that promotes it, and you're good to go?
Correct. If you're in grades 4 through 12, and your school brings on NASP, and they share the program with whatever grade levels they decide, and then of course you come to PE class one day, and you hear your PE teacher say, "Okay, class, today we're going to learn target archery or archery or what have you," and you perk up and you go, "Well, that's kind of interesting. I've never done that before." And all of a sudden it just takes off. And that's truly one of the foundational, you know, pieces of its success, is that, you know, it reaches every kid in the school. Every kid gets the opportunity as they go through that school. And what we keep finding with the program is that not only does it appeal to the track star, the high school quarterback, the basketball stars in the school, but lo and behold, we find it appealing to these kids that just, you know, they don't interact with a lot of kids. They don't go out, try out for sports. They don't do sports. They're probably not going to have a high five in a team sport, you know, anytime soon. Many of these kids are sitting in the back of the classroom saying, "Gosh, please don't call on me. I just want to get through school and be done." Yeah. And all of a sudden they shoot a bow and arrow in a PE class, and it's like, "Well, I'm not too bad at this." And they get a pat on the back from a teacher, or they get a high five from another student that they've never met before, you know, and you did a good job. And all of a sudden, an after-school program starts up in the school, and the PE teacher encourages that kid, "You should try out for this. You're pretty good at this." So they do. And in doing so, it just changes their life forever. All of a sudden, now they're the head of the team. They're important in terms of competing and enjoying a pastime with other members of their school that they probably didn't hang out with before. And it's having just incredible impacts across the country, not only in the lives of the students, but also for conservation.
Let's talk a little bit about how does the school get involved in this?
Well, it's pretty simple. They just contact NASP at NASPschools.org. And we have an online piece that shows them how to move forward. But we generally tell them that the easiest way to start is to contact their state Fish and Wildlife Agency. Now, here in Nebraska, absolutely the way to start. They contact their Aaron Hirschberger or Megan Price at the State Fish and Wildlife Agency here in Lincoln, in Nebraska and Parks, and they find out what's available. Now, oftentimes, and that's usually the case in Nebraska, there is some grant funding available to help the school get the archery kit and start the program. And it's pretty simple. Once Hershey or Megan has you on the radar, they'll invite you to a scheduled training workshop. We call it a BAI, or Basic Archery Instructor Workshop. The teachers get certified. They get trained. The kit that the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission helps them purchase shows up at the school. And once they're trained, then they just start implementing it in their PE class, just as they were trained to do. And it is just one of the safest, most awesome activities they're going to introduce to kids all year long.
I know when I've been involved with it, and you've held one of the big tournaments out here at the DNN Center here in North Platte. I'm walking around, I'm looking at the kids, they're all having a ball, they're all smiling, and I notice that everybody is using the exact same equipment, which puts everybody on an even keel there. And that was one of the things that really impressed me with the program to start with, is just because your parents may be a little more affluent than the next guy, you're not going to have the best equipment and maybe have an advantage that way. Everybody competes at the same level.
And that is one of the beauties of the program, that kind of standardizes things a little bit and makes it a level playing field. And that's why this little fourth grade young lady who never even thought about archery can compete right alongside the high school quarterback or the middle school quarterback who might not have the bow of their own, because everything is standardized. The program, same bow, same arrows. We have tremendous support from the industry to continue to grow this program. Just came back from the national tournament in Louisville, where Brennan Industries, who makes the Genesis bow under Matthews, Easton Arrows, Carrie Garrett, she's just the queen of NAFT, we call her, James McGovern, Reinhardt Targets. You know, Reinhardt Targets are some of the best 3D targets in the world, and James McGovern is just one of the neatest, most humble guys out there. Bernie Morrell of Morrell Targets, all these great folks who are they show up at our tournaments. They have booths because they want to interact with the kids, and they're a major part of the success of NAFT. So the equipment was a big portion of it. That decision to standardize it so that, you know, one kid wasn't showing up with a $2,000 bow and the next kid's competing, you know, with a $50 bow. We don't allow that. It's one bow, one type of arrow, and everybody's competing at the same level.
Now, I know you said you just got back from that. How many kids were there? I was telling Corey before we got the show started, I said, wait till you hear some of the numbers he's talking about. How many kids were at that one?
Well, this is why we say that it's the largest shooting sports event in the world, and it is. And it's like a small village when you get into Louisville, Kentucky. Kids are showing up at the airport with bow cases. They're coming out to the Kentucky Expo Center, and we had 15,555 archers, and about another 40,000 parents, family, friends turn out for the national tournament in Louisville here last week, and it was just phenomenal. 15,555 kids is pretty impressive.
It is.
They all were there to have fun. They're all there to compete. And it's just a different atmosphere than I've seen in any, certainly in any shooting sport, just about any other sport, period.
Now, you touched on this a little bit earlier in a statement you made, but I know you got some very good feedback, some interesting data that came out of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service related to archery. Tell us about that
one. Oh, this is exciting. Well, every year, you know, you talk about validation. Not that NAFT needs validation because the impacts are pretty obvious. But you talk about validation. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service puts out a five-year report that studies the trends of hunting participation, fishing participation, wildlife viewing, wildlife-related activities in the United States. And that trend data is pretty important. State Fish and Wildlife agencies, industry folks, all monitor that trend data that the Fish and Wildlife Service puts out. And it gives us an idea of what's happening nationally, and it breaks it down by state. A few years ago, they started, you know, looking at trend data on shooting sports, knowing that the Pittman-Robertson dollars, the excise tax that everybody pays on firearms, ammunition, archery equipment, and so forth, fishing tackle, you know, 11% of that tax, that 11% of that sale goes back to the state fish and wildlife agencies so that they can manage fish and wildlife in the state. It's an incredibly important effort that goes on all across North America. And it's part of, you know, a big part of our model of conservation that's been so successful. And the Fish and Wildlife Service reported on archery for one of the first times. They didn't separate archery out in the past. And they don't have a lot of trend data, but they do have age data. And what they showed was phenomenal. They called out the National Archery in the Schools program on it, because when they looked at the largest age cohort for the shooting sports, when it comes to firearm shooting sports, the largest age cohort is, as you might guess, 35 to 40 years of age. That's the predominant age group that's shooting with firearms. Now, you might think when archery, it might be even, you know, 40 to 45. But lo and behold, they noticed that the largest age cohort for archery participation in the United States is ages 6 through 15. And there's only one reason that they call out that they can think of that is such a high, it swings so back towards youth,
yep.
And that is the National Archery in the Schools program. We were so proud. We're still doing the yippee dance on that one because, you know, not only is it impacting the lives of kids, NAFT is actually changing the culture of the shooting sports in North America. We couldn't be more proud. More proud of the state fish and wildlife agencies who coordinate the program, like the team here in Nebraska, one of the best teams in the country. These guys rock, and the state fish and wildlife agencies that support those coordinators. And so it's a it's a great program, great opportunities for state fish and wildlife agencies, great opportunities for students and families and schools. It's just been a perfect storm, and could not be more proud of the state agencies who manage the program.
We're going to have to take a break, Jeff, and do a couple commercials, but I got a few more questions for you when we get back, bud.
We'll be here.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking this morning with Jeff Rollinson, who is the Vice President of the National Archery in the Schools program. I'll have to start referring to you as the Lord High Grand Poobah of Archery. How's that?
Well, that's hilarious. You know, what's funny is I'm an archer, but I'm probably the world's, you know, I'm not in the top half, I can tell you that. I've been an archer for most of my life, but I'm also a shooter, right? A firearms. You know me. You and I both. We love single action pistols, love handgun hunting, love bow hunting. But it's amazing. I've met some kids over the years, really, and what they can do with a bow will inspire you. I mean, there are some kids out there that are just pretty incredible.
Very good. Talking about kids and stuff, you did an annual survey here recently. What did that tell you?
Oh my gosh, it was really cool because, you know, we're one of those few shooting sports that, you know, has a lot of data. We started getting data in 2017, and we've continued to collect data over the last several years. Here, just in 2024, did our latest survey to better understand what's going on with the kids in the program. And when you're reaching 1.3 million kids, you want to know what the impacts are, and it's incredible. And the numbers just continue to. And again, you know, you're not going to have numbers like, you know, 50, 70, 80% when it comes to hunting and shooting sports, because that's just not realistic when your average population is only hunting or participating maybe at 10%, right? And so these numbers are huge compared to the average participation rate here in the United States. One of the numbers that I really thought was cool is that we asked the kids, has your participation in NAF encouraged someone else in your family to begin shooting archery? 22% of the kids said yes, because I shoot NAF, someone else in my family has started shooting NAF or shooting archery. So when you look at archery participation, you say, well, gee, we're reaching 1.3 million. Add another 22% on, because that's another large group of folks who are shooting archery because of the program. So I just think that number is just absolutely cool. And we say 1.3 million kids participating. That's only of the schools that report. Our report rate, we got a lot of schools who don't report. And so we know that number is well beyond 1.3 million kids participating. What does it do for kids? Kids need an opportunity like NAF. They need it now more today, probably more than ever. And here's what they're telling us. 41% said participating in the program brings me peace of mind and contentment.
Wow, in today's world where we're always talking about the mental health of the kids, that absolutely is a phenomenal number.
I'm glad you see that, because absolutely, kids need that you know, emotional support. They need that stability. NAF provides it for them.
So you've known me for years. You know that I'm not as stupid as I look.
That's what I tell people all the time.
I know.
Oh, boy. See, folks, you can tell Rick and I go back a ways.
Yep, we do.
You know, 52% said I feel proud of the shooting skills I've developed, which we think is that kids need that level of pride. 68% proud of myself for becoming an archer. 50% proud to represent my school and spend time with my teammates. Remember what I said?
That's an amazing one.
This is the first time a lot of these kids get a chance to represent their school. So the pride in doing so cannot be taken for granted. 34% said they're now more likely to try and learn new skills. And here's one that I just think the industry, and they're gobbling this up. I think that's important. 39%, nearly 40% of the kids in the program out of 1.3 million have purchased a personal bow outside of a NAF bow, but a hunting or target bow, their own bow. So 40% of the kids out of 1.3 million, because of NAF, have gone out and bought a new bow, and another 27% say they want to.
How many bows do you have, Jeff?
Probably more than I should. I've kind of narrowed things down over the years. You keep running into things off and on, right? And you go, well, geez, I probably need one of those. But you know, keep in mind, every time a bow is purchased, 11% of that sale, that new bow, goes to Fish and Wildlife Conservation. So NASP is a powerful engine for purchasing of equipment for our state conservation efforts, as well as just the industry as a whole. So we're real proud of these kids. They're getting out and buying equipment. But what it tells us from the R3 standpoint, the recruitment, retention, and activation of a hunter or a shooter, and what it tells me is that these kids are making that decision, which is a very important step in their progression of taking on an activity, that tells me they're making that decision to continue. I'm going to buy the equipment because I'm invested in this to that level. That's a huge step forward for anybody participating in any activity when they start to buy the equipment. So we're real excited about that. 28% participated in 3D archery, and another 21% want to. NASP is blowing the 3D right out of the water right now. We've got about 75,000 kids participating in the NASP 3D program and NASP IBO 3D program, and we're going to put an emphasis on increasing that over the next year and giving kids more opportunity to shoot 3D within the program. We're real excited about that. Hunting.
Well, we may have to hold that one. We're about out of time, bud.
Well, these kids are hunting. These kids are getting out and want to hunt well above the state averages.
Well, I bet I can have you on the show again.
I think we got a lot more to talk about.
Now, one thing. I asked you how many bows you got. Save a space for one more, because we talked about bows one time before, and I told you I had one I was making for you.
Oh my gosh! My excitement meter just went off the roof.
just plain little recurve kids type bow. You probably had one as growing up, but you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, awesome! 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 Well, I appreciate it.
Well, you have a great one, sir. Thank you for taking the time to be with me, and you have a great weekend.
You as well. Thanks, Rick.
That's it for this week, folks. Next time on the Outdoor Connection, we'll see you then.